Welcome along to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post. I'm Dave Clark. He is Steve Palmer. How are you, Steve?
Good morning, Dave. Yes, I'm okay, thank you. Was pleased to get some place money from Jaden Shaper last week. The Jens Dantorp dream threatened to become a reality, but he had a very poor Sunday. But I'm over that now, and I'm looking forward to two events this week.
Yeah, it's a bit of a roller coaster. I was following the action as well as following the YouTube commentators, and a few people won at big prices. Do get involved with us here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We want to hear from you. Jump in the comments, like, comment, and subscribe. And as I told you last week, make sure you hit that notification bell so when we upload, you will know. Big content this week as well, the big jump off. So if you like your jumps racing, you can pick the brains of the best horsey bettors in the land. And listen, as a rule of thumb, you've got to test to this as well, Steve. I don't know too much about horse racing, but if you just follow Paul Keighley, you'll be all right.
Absolutely. And follow the stable tours. I see the Nicky Henderson stable tour is in today's Racing Post. Big fan of Nicky Henderson. He's my favourite trainer. Had a drink with him once at a bar at a golf club, and I didn't know who he was. And I was having a lovely chat with him. I was having a lovely chat with him about, you know, golf and stuff. And then Paul Keighley, the aforementioned Paul Keighley, came over later and said, "Oh, did you know that that was?" And I said, no. And So I had a lovely chat with Nicky Henderson, my favourite horse race trainer. Hopefully he's got some good ones in his stable.
I'm sure he has. And listen, I've got a lot of time for that being your criteria for your favourite trainer. But if you've had a drink with him at the bar, he's top of the list. Did he know who you was?
No, I doubt it.
Oh, that would be magnificent.
Just two strangers having a lot of banter. But, I mean, I got on very well with him. He's a very, very friendly chap.
Good stuff. Right, there was only one tournament last week, Steve. I'm sure you have plenty of time on your hands to get plenty of lengths in the swimming pool. So what was the number then? Come on.
Oh, the lengths in the swimming pool. Yeah. You told me already someone predicted 100. That was a very, very optimistic shout. I mean, I can only do two lengths without getting out of puff. And that's right at the start. I start off with real intention. I can do two lengths, boom, boom. But then I have to drop it down to one length. And then from there, I have to switch to breaststroke. I got in trouble, actually, Dave. I got in trouble with one of the regulars for doing breaststroke in the fast lane. I didn't know that was banned because you got slow lane, medium lane, and fast lane. And on my first week there, I went medium lane. I thought, but then second week, I thought, right, I am quite fast. I'm fast, but I don't have the stamina. So I went in the fast lane and it started off fine. But then as I tired, I went breaststroke. And this fella come up to me and says, "You're not allowed to do breaststroke in the fast lane." He pointed to a sign because I'm a really fast front crawler, but I'm a very, very slow breaststroker, Dave. I'm a very slow breaststroker. I sort of apologised and switched back to the medium lane. And I'd say in total 20, maybe 20. Yeah. 20.
Well, listen, that's more than I had you down for, to be fair. I did have you down as a slow breaststroker as well. So
I'm a very slow breaststroker. Now, there's times when I'm clutching onto the the float things that separate the lanes. Yeah, I just sort of clutch onto them for a bit to get myself back together. So it's 20 lengths over a long period of time.
That's the PB, is it? We're looking to step up on that?
Yeah, I am. No, I had a bit of a setback last week because Henry Harwick came down at the weekend, and Henry Harwick's a bad influence on me. So all the sort of vices came out again. So I feel like I need to do extra lengths this week to get over what happened with Henry Harwick. He's a bad, bad boy.
Well, let me tell you now, you've told me 20 lengths in the poll. I would be massively odds on the overs on alcohol units consumed being over 20 during Henry's visit.
This is it. No, it's all about balance in life, isn't it, Dave? It's all about balance. Work hard, play hard. Is my mantra. And this is what we're going to do.
Right. Well, we're going to play hard this week as well. We've got two tournaments to preview, but one to look back on. Listen, we could have turned up with the wigs on again, right? Because Mr. Fleetwood, back in the winner's enclosure, 22 under par, a two-shot success, final round of 65 to seal the deal, and wonderful scenes with his son running onto the green. He mentioned afterwards that was, by the sounds of it, his chief motivation.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was brilliant to see that. He seems a tremendous kid. And it was some fantastic images after the victory. I think Tommy would be particularly thrilled with how he putted I mean, when Tommy Fleetwood putts well, he's you know, properly elite, isn't he? And he putted really well in round two. He putted really well in round four. Hold everything. Bogey free from the third hole onwards on Sunday. 7 under par for the final 15 holes. You know, he took control of the golf tour. It's lovely to see. I think he's taking a lot from the Ryder Cup. He was an integral part of the Ryder Cup. You know, maybe Tommy Fleetwood is going to become a winning machine now. He's got the tour championship. He's got a PGA Tour monkey off his back. You know, everything is rosy in the Fleetwood garden. And Mrs. Fleetwood would be particularly happy. I probably owe Mrs. Fleetwood an apology. I was suggesting he shouldn't be there. I wonder if Mrs. Fleetwood showed Tommy last week's sweet spot to inspire him. You know, you've got to defend my honor, Tommy. You've got to defend my honor because this plonker here is saying we shouldn't be here. I feel that was what inspired Tommy to play so well. But I still don't think he should have been there. I think a rest would have done him good. I'm so pleased it all worked out. And he had those lovely scenes with his lad because otherwise I think it would have been a wasted trip even if you win it. Because I've actually subsequently discovered why he was there, I think, Dave, because did you see the interviews afterwards? He didn't think he'd qualified for the DP World Tour playoffs. Did you see that? He thought he needed to get in the top 70 to qualify for Abu Dhabi, but there's a rule that says if you play in the Ryder Cup, if you're a Ryder Cupper, if you're a member of Team Europe that year, you automatically get into the playoffs. So he'd already qualified for Abu Dhabi and he'd already qualified for the DP World Tour Championship. But he obviously didn't know about that rule. And that's why they went over to India. But they had a lovely time. So it all worked out in the end.
Yes, all is well that ends well. Yeah. Right. And was nearly, and one or two messages from you, Steve, a Nakajima nightmare, a player that you have eulogised about for a long time, tipped a few times in recent weeks as well. And he looked like he was going to go close, and he did go close. He finished second here. Was it kind of one of those where you're watching it between your fingers?
Yeah, I was very much hoping Fleetwood would beat Nakajima. I mean, Nakajima's record in India is incredible now. His only DP World Tour title came in India, in the Indian Open. He nearly defended that title this year. He finished runner-up and then runner-up again last week. He comes alive in India. Yeah, class player, Dave. I mean, he's definitely on our shortlist for this week. We've got the Genesis Championship in Korea this week. And as things stand, Nakajima's going to be on the PGA Tour next year. You know, it's really hotting up this race for the PGA Tour cards through the Race to Dubai rankings. And Nakajima, even though he hasn't won this year, he's in line to get one of them. So, yeah, really high-pressure few weeks for Kaito Nakajima.
Okay, other names on the leaderboard. Alex Fitzpatrick, which was a good showing from him. Yeah. Shane Lowry, Tristan Lawrence, my man Hovland, there's nothing wrong with him. Zeus Luton and your man, Shaper, each way.
Oh, yeah, Shaper, just ice cold putter in round one. You know, didn't hold anything in round one. He missed so many chances in round three, but tee to green, just exceptional. You know, I love this boy's swing. And he hardly made any mistakes. He only made three bogeys in 72 holes, a really tricky, fiddly course. You know, supremely accurate. Still only 24. So, yeah, class act. He tied sixth with two others. I think he will win on the DP World Tour soon. I've been saying it for 5 years. People probably get fed up with me, but he's only 24. Give the lad some time. I think Shaper's going to win soon. And then we'll have to reflect whether we go back in with Jens Dantorp anymore, because that was an ideal test for him. We're all very excited when he's in fourth place after three rounds, because the place returns were going to be wonderful. But he dropped from fourth place to 17th in the final round. You know, playing with Shane Lowry in the penultimate group. Yeah, that was a tough two ball for Dantorp. I think the pressure got to him. He missed a tiddler for par on the second hole, missed a tiddler for par on the third hole. Only people who backed top 20 got their return. I know you're a very sensible lad, Dave. I know you like dipping into the top 20 markets. I did a little prayer to the Lord on Sunday, hoping that you'd add a little bit of top 20 action, because obviously, I was too ambitious and went for place return. Did you?
I like to cover all the angles, top 20, yeah. Top 10, top 5, each way, without the favourite, the whole lot. Just get them on side in any way you can.
That's it. Angles McManus. Angles McManus is your nickname, isn't it? Dantorp will have to think about. But if you said at the start of the week that our 300-1 shot was going to beat Rory McIlroy, then we would have been quite excited, wouldn't we? Because he did beat Rory McIlroy, but that wasn't enough for a place return.
What of McIlroy? Did you see much of him?
Yeah, I mean, as we discussed last week, I think he was just there for a bit of fun. It looked like he was having some fun. It's a golf course that really sort of handicaps him. He doesn't play to his strengths. He didn't even have the driver in the bag. You know, he didn't even bother putting it in, which, that's his best club. He wins a lot of tournaments with that driver and he couldn't employ it last week. So, yeah, I'm glad we avoided Rory McIlroy. So, yeah.
To ask you about, Steve, was Alex Fitzpatrick, the younger brother of Matt. I'm right in saying, I looked through some of his results over the last 12 months. He's got a few top 10 and top 20 finishes and a good showing here as well.
Yeah, I thought it was a really plucky effort. I mean, it was really annoying for Jaden Schaefer fans because Fitzpatrick was holding lots of par putts to maintain his position. I was impressed with his pluck. It's difficult for him living in the shadow of his more illustrious brother, isn't it? But I've always thought he's good enough to be almost as good as his brother. So hopefully this is a stepping stone to something bigger.
Okay. We love a plucky Brit. Anything else to add?
No, sir. We got two tournaments, which I'm pleased about. There's not been enough tournaments lately, but two tournaments this week means we can have our each way double. And I've got a very exciting one for you.
Excellent. Right, we're off to Korea then for the final event before the playoffs. For those that don't know, Steve, when we say the playoffs, you've kind of hinted at it already. What are we talking about?
Yeah, the top 70 that are getting into Abu Dhabi. It used to be longer, didn't it? We've only got two playoff events. So Fleetwood was panicking that he wasn't going to get in. And Shane Lowry was outside the place as well. But, you know, this rule about Ryder Cuppers being automatically qualified, so he didn't need to worry. I don't know whether Shane Lowry was aware of it. It was a surprisingly good field last week, wasn't it? We got one. For the mere mortals who are not Ryder Cuppers, this is the last chance to get in there and qualify for the playoffs. And we're at a new venue day for the DP World Tour, Woojeong Hills Country Club, South Korea, 7,367 yards, par 71, three par fives. It's been used loads of times for the Korea Open. The Korea Open is usually an Asian tour event, sometimes just a Korean tour event. It hosted the Korea Open from 2003 through 2019 and from 2021 through 2023. 13 of those Korean Opens at this track were won by a single digit under par total. It shows how difficult this course is. It's long, undulating, loads of water hazards. You're going to love the 13th hole, Dave. That's an island green. I know you like an island green. Yes. Built like sawgrass. Pete Dye's son is actually the course designer, Perry Dye. So a serious test of ball strike in this. Weather forecast is good, clear and calm throughout. Temperatures peaking at 18°C. A field of 126 is going to post. Place your bets.
Well, no, go on. Yours is more important.
Is it? Korean
time zone.
Well, this is it. Place your bets by 11 p.m., I think it is, on Wednesday night. So UK time Wednesday night. Yeah, before you go to bed on Wednesday night, you've got to get your bets on because, it's an early start.
Yes, that was far more important than what I was about to say. Make sure you get your bets on Wednesday night because we are in Korea. And they are quite a few hours ahead of us. I was just going to say, Steve, obviously my homework is far more limited than yours and my research. Just got written down here, long. Any golf course in which John Daly has won an event at, I'm thinking you've got to be able to send it to compete here.
It is long. It is long. And, I'll get on to a fella who's been very successful there recently who isn't long. I think you can still conquer this track with Supreme Iron Play. But, it is helpful to be long off the tee here. No doubt about it.
Right. It is 12-1 the field. Matsuyama, Siwoo King, Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen, Sung Jae-im, Adam Scott. How many in the team?
We've got five selections for the Genesis Championship and then just three for the PGA Tour event that's coming up.
Okay, 15 each way doubles if you want to play. Fire at will then. Who is the main selection?
Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen. A winner waiting to happen on the DP World Tour. He's actually threatening to pick up a PGA Tour card through those Rated Dubai rankings that we mentioned without winning a tournament. Testament to his great consistency. So solid from tee to green. Regularly banking healthy checks. He qualified for the US Open and then finished 12th at Oakmont in the US Open. He likes a tough test, Dave. He's going to get a tough test this week. He's twice finished runner-up this year, once on the DP World Tour, once on the PGA Tour. His form figures from his last three trips to Asia are 2-10-4. He was fifth in the Spanish Open last time out. Weekend rounds of 67-68. Skipped India to freshen up for this one. Good decision. Most likely title contender for me. Two of his three Challenge Tour victories came in Asia. He turned pro in 2023, dominated the Challenge Tour last year. He finished 14th in the Genesis Championship, this event at the end of last year, different course, but showed a liking for career. He's back 12 months later. He's just primed for a breakthrough, Dave. I'm sure you'll agree. Primed for a breakthrough, and this course looks ideal.
And I know that you love him. I'll tell you what I like. I like the record in Asia, because it is a different culture, a different way of life. Some players will adjust to it, settle in, and some won't, but he clearly does.
He does. And that Genesis Championship last year was a similar course. You know, Jack Nicklaus Golf Club, similar test to this one. I just think he's going to stay out of trouble. It's a tough ball striking test, this. And near guard, he's long enough. He's supremely accurate. Half decent putting week, and he has to be in contention.
Right, here's the main selection then. Who's the next best?
Angel Ayora, who finished fourth on the Challenge Tour rankings last season. He was one of the main challengers for Neergaard Pedersen last year. He's 5 years younger than Rasmus. Angel turned 21 at the start of this month. He won on the Challenge Tour last year. Now he's become a leaderboard regular in the higher grade. It's been a seamless transition. He's got a swing to die for, effortless power. He was seventh in the Italian Open in June, eighth at Cranthyr, fifth in the Irish Open, fifth in the Daniel Links, ninth in the Spanish Open. And I'm not remotely bothered by the missed cut last week in India. That course is not a good fit for Ayora. He's making his course debut. He had a bad first round. He played well in round two and carded a 69. He missed the weekend by just a single shot. He made 10 birdies last week, Dave. He just had some card busters. So he didn't play badly last week. Weekend off would do him good. Much better suited to this week's layout. He's got a decent record in Asia generally. He was second in a Challenge Tour event in China last year. I would advise you to give in to temptation, Dave. Give in to temptation and have a dance with Angel Ayora.
Wonderful. Well, listen, I've had a fair few card busters in my time, so I feel his pain. Don't worry about that. Right, that's two down, three to come. Who else? They've come on the first as well. Who else have you got in the team?
Thomas Dietrich, who has switched his attention to the DP World Tour since the end of the FedEx Cup playoffs. He won the Phoenix Open. You must remember that Phoenix Open. I think I tested you the other day on Thomas Dietrich's Phoenix Open win. It was an amazing front-running performance. Yeah, this was a fellow who hadn't won on either tour. A really brave front-running performance. A seven-shot romp in front of the biggest crowds the PGA Tour can muster. He's played in elite company on the PGA Tour throughout the PGA Tour season, because that win gave him access to all the best events. Now he's had this significant downgrade to the DP World Tour. He finished 12th in his first DP World Tour event back in the Irish Open. Three steady efforts since then, 46th at Wentworth, 42nd in France, 35th in Spain. I think he might step up a gear this week, Dave. He's 129th in the Race to Dubai ranking, so he needs a huge week to get into those playoffs. He's not a Ryder Cupper, so he hasn't got that luxury that Fleetwood and Lowry had. So he actually needs a top two finish to guarantee a place in the playoffs. So I think Dietrich will be aware. He's really got to go for it this week. And he's definitely good enough to get that top two finish. This course suits him. He's had loads of experience in Asia as a DP World Tour regular in the past. So, I like the price that's on offer this week about Thomas Dietrich.
Oh, interesting angle in there. He needs to be in the first two to get through.
Yeah, to guarantee a spot in Abu Dhabi,
Wow. There'll be plenty of bubble chat, the bubble boys and all that. So it's worth a few quid just qualifying, right? So there's a lot on the line this week.
Well, absolutely. And he's based in Dubai. Thomas Dietrich is based in Dubai. He's got houses all over the place, but his main base is Dubai. Obviously, the final event is in Dubai. He would love to get to that final event, play close to home in front of family and friends. And I think he's capable of doing it. But obviously, this week is the key.
Right, three down, two to go. Who else?
Min-Hyu Kim, MK Kim, as he likes to be known, a South Korean who can boast form figures of 1-4-1 in the last three Korean Opens at this week's venue. So we're talking about a course specialist here, Dave. Before those Korean Open wins, He was amazing on the Euro Pro Tour as a really young man. He was a prodigy, this lad. He won twice on the Euro Pro Tour in 2017. Then he won on the Challenge Tour in 2018 when he was still only 17 years of age. Now he's a 24-year-old. He looks ready to make a bold bid for a maiden DP World Tour title this week. He was second in a Korean Tour event last week, Dave. So, really encouraging return to form going into going to his favourite golf course. This must be his favourite golf course. So he carded four rounds in the 60s last week, lost by a shot in that Korean Tour event. Obviously, taking a significant upgrade this week. We talk about Dietrich having the downgrade from the PGA Tour. Kim's taking an upgrade from Korean Tour to DP World Tour, but clearly full of ability. He has been from since he was an embryo. In his course credentials are just emphatic. So I think we have to take a chance. He's a really lively outsider.
Well, I was going to ask you what of the home team, and you've given me the answer there. More in the team. Who else?
Bernd Wiesberger, who turned 40 last week. The week before last, he turned 40. I know you're 38. You got that's a big milestone when you turn 40. You feel like you're.
I'm glad you corrected it though, because I was going to moonpig him. So thanks. Yeah.
Oh yeah. You feel like you're running out of time when you turn 40. Your midlife crises will start soon, Dave. Trust me. Wiesberger is probably reflecting on his 40 years. I think he'd be happy with his 40 years. He's won 8 times on the DP World Tour. The first of those 8 wins came in South Korea in the 2012 Ballantyne's Championship. It was a 5-shot romp. So Korea is a place he adores. Happy memories. 2 of his DP World Tour wins came in Asia. And he also won on the Asian Tour in 2013, the Indonesian Masters. That was a decent Asian Tour event. He repelled Ernie Els to win that one. So excellent record in Asia generally. And his ball striking is good enough for him to win this. Putting is the big concern when you back Bernd Wiesberger. He can struggle on the greens. He's not a long driver by modern standards, but his iron play is world-class. His iron play remains exceptional. MK Kim, as I mentioned earlier, has shown you can win on this course with exceptional iron play. MK Kim's not a long driver either. So I think Wiesberger can follow the MK Kim blueprint there and win at this track. And the recent ball striking performances from Wiesberger, really encouraging. He was 16th in the Spanish Open. He was 17th in the India Open, the India Championship last week. So, yeah, we've got a former Ryder Cup star showing signs of life, going to a country he loves. Yeah, worth an each way ticket at a nice price.
Yeah, that is one I like a lot. Quite a comprehensive list there. What of the jolly here, Matsuyama? What are your thoughts on him?
Matsuyama, I mean, I think he's a more backable market principle than Siwoo Kim. You've got Siwoo Kim and Hideki Matsuyama jostling for favouritism. I think Siwoo Kim perhaps a bit overrated this week. I see, reminds me a bit of Ben Griffin last week. I couldn't believe how short Ben Griffin was last week. I think Siwoo Kim getting a lot of respect by the layers. I think Hideki Matsuyama should be ahead of Siwoo Kim, but I'll happily back neither of them because neither of them are reliable betting propositions. I think Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen much more likely to contend than those two. I find it very hard to see Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen not being in the mix. If he's going down the stretch with Matsuyama on Sunday, you'd favour Matsuyama. But I think to get in that position, to set up a winning chance, I think Nygaard-Petersen's more likely to set up the winning chance. There's only one. Well, there was 2 players I found it really hard to scrape from the staking plan. As you say, we've got 5. We can't have any more. But I felt like Byung-Hun Ahn was really difficult to get out of my mind. Byung-Hun Ahn is the defending champion, Dave. Yeah. And he's got a great record in his homeland. And his weekend performance in the Bay Current Classic last time out, a pair of 66s at the weekend, finished 4th. I mean, yeah, Byung-Hun Ahn it's got to go well, but I just prefer the scope for improvement from Nygaard-Petersen and Angel Ayora. So you can't have all 3. And then Frédéric Lacroix was the other one. But yeah, it's a tough tournament, Dave. I've wrestled with all this long into the night I've got to be happy with my decisions.
5 is enough. 5 is plenty. And a reminder to get your bets on before you go to bed on Wednesday night, as Steve has told you. We are in Korea and there are hours and hours in front of us. So don't get caught out by that. Right, let's move to the PGA Tour then. The Bank of Utah Championship, known as the Black Desert Championship last year, which is a clue as to where we are playing the course. Long, but at altitude. I reckon I could hit a fairway here, Steve, as well. I've read that some of these fairways are up to 100 yards wide. I'm not sure I could hit it from one side to the other, but I reckon I could find it. Drivable par fours. Talk to us about the track.
That's it, yeah. Black Desert Resort, Ivins, Utah. 7,421 yards, par 71, three par fives. Tom Weisskopf's final course design. Rest in peace, Tom. It opened in May 2023, hosted the inaugural Black Desert Championship last year. New sponsors, new tournament name for this second edition. Weisskopf loved to create drivable par fours. That's the most exciting element of this course, really. Apart from the amazing views, I mean, it's a spectacular, you know, there's lava rock all over the place. It's a wonderful location. But the two drivable par fours are very exciting for golf fans. And as you say, fairways are wide, the greens are large, sunny, calm conditions forecast. So it's all out attack for the 132 runners. 23 under par was the winning score last year.
Right, give us an attribute.
You'd want power in both of the tournaments this week. Length of the tee is very helpful. All of my guys have got that.
Open your shoulders. Right, Maverick McNealy is market leader here. Don't say that too often. Michael Thorbjornsson, Alex Noren, Kurt Kitayama, Davis Thompson. This is exactly the sort of golf tournament I'd like to attack. Each way bullets are plenty. Steve's already told us he's got three in the team. So who is the main pick?
Mighty Michael Thorbjornsson. I've not shocked you there, Dave, have I?
You haven't. No,
I didn't think I was going to shock you.
The YouTube comments coming alive.
I wish I hadn't waxed lyrical about him last week, because I was talking about how wonderfully he struck the ball in the Sanderson Farms Championship and the Bay Current Classic. I should have stayed silent. There's been early money for him. The bookmaker's been slashing away like Freddy Krueger, Dave. But yeah, Mighty Michael Thorbjornsson. You mentioned Maverick McNealy's the favourite. I think Mighty Michael Thorbjornsson should be the favourite. Supreme ball striker. May well have won the Sanderson Farms and the Bay Current. May have won both tournaments had he putted like a professional golfer. But he putted like you, Dave. He putted like you. He finished 29th in the Sanderson Farms and he finished third in the Bay Current. He closed with a 64 in the Bay Current. He was 13th in the Pro Core Championship a month ago. So he's been extremely active. Yeah, you mentioned Maverick McNealy. Maverick McNealy has not been active. Thorbjornsson is in the groove. He's been playing competitive golf. Any putting improvement we can get in Utah will make him a surefire contender for me. He played in last year's Black Desert Championship. Obviously, we've only got 1 year of course form. He was in that. Don't be fooled. He was in that. He opened with a 67. But he had some knee problems. He was suffering with a bad knee. Shot a nice 67, but then the knee got too painful in round two and he withdrew during round two. So he's got some course experience. 12 months later, he's going back 128 places better in the world rankings. He was runner-up in the Corrales Punta Cana in April. Seems only a matter of time before this amateur superstar becomes a winner on the PGA Tour. He's got top-class caddy, as I'm always mentioning. We just need that flat stick to warm, Dave. Stick it on the radiator on Wednesday night, Michael. Just stick it on the radiator. Get a hot water bottle around it. Do anything to warm that putter. Then we'll all be jumping for joy on Sunday night.
Do me a favour. If he wins it, I want him to replace Xander Schauffele on the back of your phone.
Okay, yeah. I'm due an upgrade. No, yeah, okay. That's it. Yeah, I agree. I'll do that, yeah.
Because you absolutely love him. Right, Michael Thorbjornsson. Right, I have got a player written down myself I want to ask you about. I'm praying he's among the three. Right, two more to come. Who else?
Next best is Kurt Kitayama. He was a hero for us when he won the 3M Open at the end of July. You must remember that weekend performance, Dave. He shot rounds of 60-65 at the weekend. Second PGA Tour title. His maiden win came in 2023 in a high-class Arnold Palmer invitation. He won twice on the DP World Tour prior to that. So this is a 32-year-old with plenty of bottle. Magnificent ball striker. Both my main picks this week have similar strengths and weaknesses. Yeah, I'm expecting Thorbjornsson and Kitayama pound greens in regulation. I mentioned the two drivable par fours. These two are the most likely candidates to get Eagle twos by driving onto these par fours for me. And they're both seeing Black Desert Resort for a second time. Kitayama played in last year's event, finished 25th. This year he's been sharper, fifth in the John Deere Classic 3 weeks before his 3M Open win. The John Deere, the 3M, both low-scoring events. He took some time off after the FedEx Cup playoffs, well-earned break, returned in the Bay Current and was rusty, Dave, closed with a 67. So I feel like he got the rust out of his system over the first three rounds. Normal service resumed in round four, and I think he takes that to Utah.
I can confirm that I remember because on.
Yeah, that's it. I remember. I was in the snooker club watching him firing that 65. The 60 was unbelievable. He come racing up. So, yeah. Kurt Kitayama has got firepower. And, I see a Thorbjornsson-Kitayama duel.
That was the sort of performance as well that gives you hope. You know, when your Thursday doesn't go to plan, but you clutch to performances like that, maybe he can do a Kitayama here and come from the clouds and still win.
It's never over, Dave, until the fat lady sings. We're allowed to say that these days.
Well, you said it, not me. Right. So we've got one more player in the team. Who is it?
The third player is William Meow. Another strong driver. I'm going to war with a trio of power pack drivers, Dave. I think they're going to storm Black Desert, and Meow may be purring on Sunday night after a second PGA Tour title. His first came in the ISCO Championship in the middle of July. He closed with a 61 to make his breakthrough. He was seventh in the 3M Open next time out. He was the one I was most worried about when we were on Kitayama. Meow was coming with a late rattle. He's played okay on a couple of far less suitable missions in his last two starts. He closed with a 63 for 18th place in the Bay Current Classic last time out. I'm expecting a bold Black Desert debut from this 25-year-old. He's nappy factored up to his eyeballs, Dave. We were talking about the nappy factor for the last PGA Tour event, weren't we? Xander Schauffele won the last PGA Tour event, having just become a father. Meow became a father on September 5. And the reason it's so significant, that is his birthday. So Meow gave birth to a little kitty catty on September 5. So, I know you're going to correct me there. He didn't give birth. The lovely Hannah gave birth. Hannah Meow. He's nappy factored up to his eyeballs. And the only previous occasion he's played in Utah, Dave, was on the Korn Ferry Tour last year, and he finished fourth. He closed with a 63. So, he's got a funny name. He grew up on a chicken farm. But you've got to take him seriously, Dave. You've got to take him seriously.
Okay, right. I will take your word for that. Right, before I ask you about those at the head of the leaderboard, I want to ask you about two players. Just give me some kind of hope here. As a West Ham fan, there's not a lot to cheer about at the moment. I've seen West Ham's biggest option was as big as 70-1. Does he have any sort of chance here?
Graham Potter's got a good new job. You must be pleased for Graham Potter. He's got the Sweden job, hasn't he? West Ham struggling. Yeah, Billy Horschel, he hasn't had much reps, has he? You know, Tiger Woods always used to talk about reps. I think, he's a long layoff for Billy Horschel. So I want to see more reps. I know you're in love with Billy Horschel, but I think he needs more competitive golf before we start thinking about backing him again.
Right, and the player that I wanted you to mention, but you mentioned Bombers and the lack of reps, so you clearly wasn't going to. I'll give you some form figures. Withdrawn, missed cut, 38th, tied for 38th, tied for 27th, and just announced that he's got engaged. So it's not quite a nappy factor, but I like the feel-good factor. We're going with Sahi Thegala on the comeback. What do you think?
The engagement factor, yeah.
Is that a thing? I'm clutching at it this week.
How did you feel when you got engaged, Dave?
A mix of emotions, to be fair.
I think Sahith has been with that lady for a very long time. I remember seeing him on the Netflix documentary. Sahith has just had injury problems.
Injuries.
I hate golfers that have had injury niggles, like ongoing problems. So I would be wary about that one as well, Dave. I mean, the big dangers, if you want more than three, I know you like lots of strings to your bow. I mean, Kevin Yu was so hard to scrape from the staking plan. Kevin Yu, went to college in Arizona, still lives in Arizona, nearly won a Korn Ferry Tour event in Colorado in 2021. Now, Arizona and Colorado, neighboring states to Utah. So Yu likes this part of the world, and he's bounced back to form lately. So I think, Kevin, you, if you wanted a fourth, go with him. And then Davis Thompson, it's going to break my heart if Davis Thompson wins. I've been following Davis Thompson. He's had a very, very cold putter, a bit like Michael Thorpe Bjornsson, but he's been hitting the ball really well. I think Davis Thompson's probably only a good putt and a week away from a second PGA Tour title. So, yeah, Yu and Thompson were really difficult to scrape from the staking plan, but I prefer Thorpe Bjornsson and Kitayama. And then I'm going to feel like a right plonker if Matt McCarty wins. I mean, we had Matt McCarty.
Any champ, yeah.
Yeah, we had him last year at a nice juicy price, and it was great fun. He romped to victory by three shots. And last time out in the Bay Current Classic, he closed with a 60. He bogeyed the last hole, Dave. You know, he's looking like he's going to make a 59. He made a bogey and called it a 60. He was pretty angry with himself. One bad swing cost him a 59, but clearly playing well enough to potentially defend his title. I think both defending champions this week, Byung Hun and Matt McCarty, are big runners. You can tell I found this a really difficult week to get the shortlist down. We've got to go with the ones we prefer. Yeah, I think Thorbjornsson and Kitayama are the best bets. And then William Miao. William Miao is a surprisingly good price.
Do you think there's anyone in the world backing Maverick McNealy at prices as short as 12-1?
Well, Maverick McNealy's dad is a billionaire, isn't he? He's probably got the funds though. He'll be passing the affordability checks. I mean, he might be having a few quid on his son. But it just
seems like such a short prop. Why is he heading the market?
Yeah, he's a quality player. I mean, he's the second highest ranked player in the field behind Alex Noren.
But he's not a prolific winner, is he?
No. He still hasn't got that winning habit. He was pretty cheesed off not to be in the Ryder Cup team. You know, if you pick the wild cards from their places in the qualification standings, he should have been picked. So he was sort of, rudely left out, you could suggest, by Keegan Bradley. I mean, maybe Keegan Bradley probably thinks he should have picked him now. He would have done anything to change.
I suppose he has to be favourite when you look at the players in behind him as well. And you mentioned
how close he was
to the Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think the betting community are with you, because he started as a shorter price favourite than he is now at the start of the week, and he's been drifting all week, and Michael Thorpe Bjornsson's been getting backed, and I agree with the market moves. The golf punting community are sharp these days, and they're knocking the market into shape. I mean, McNealy's a course debutant. He hasn't competed for over a month, Dave. He hasn't competed since the pro course. So you talk about Thorpe Bjornsson being very, very active. And McNealy hasn't. So, yeah, I can definitely live without him at the odds, as I sense you can.
Right, cue him winning by a street now, Maverick McNealy. Right, let's have a roundup of the tips then this week, a 5 and a 3. A reminder to get your bets on very early if you're playing any sort of each-way doubles here. Let's start in Korea then. Who are we going for?
Rasmus Nygaard Peterson, Angel Ayura, Thomas Dietrich, MK Kim and Bernd Wiesberger.
And on the PGA Tour, the Utah Bank of Utah Championship,
Michael Thorbjornsson, Kurt Kitayama, William Miao. Get down, Coco, get down. Just doing a cat impression. Sorry, Coco, just reared up there.
Oh dear.
There's a good girl.
I'm always keen to get a darts tip out of you as well, Steve. I'm not across the darts. Is there anything happening this week?
Yeah, European Championships at the weekend. European Championships in Germany. I think Martin Schindler is a great each-way bet. You got Luke Littler and Luke Humphries in the top half of the draw. Luke Littler doesn't like playing in Germany. The German crowds tend to get on his back. So a surprising entry in that respect. Well, ruddy good question, Dave. You'll have to ask the Germans. I think Littler and Humphries, poor value. And I think Martin Schindler, the German in Germany, played well last week, lost a narrow game to Dirk van Dievenberger. Martin Schindler is the each-way value. If you can get 50-1, that's disappearing fast, then you've had a great bet. But 40-1 is still a good bet.
Each-way trebles has become each-way trebles now. There we go. Right.
I'm glad you said that. Dave, I'm glad you said that, because the each-way double, Rasmus Nygaard Peterson and Michael Thorbjornsson, that is a great each-way double, in my opinion. Get as many places as you can, stick them in an each-way double, and they look like two surefire contenders for me. So, I think that's a really attractive double. I'm glad you said that, Dave. But yeah, putting Martin Schindler in with a treble would be very ambitious. But ambition is not a dirty word, Dave. It's not a dirty word.
No, it's not. I love it. Yes, exactly that. Right. And big up Billy Horschel and Saif the Gala as well. Right. All good stuff. We will be back next week, of course, as the DP World Tour hots up into the playoffs. All that to come. Plenty of bubble chat, I'm sure, as well next week. You out there, do get involved with us. A reminder to check out the jump off, the big jump off. If you like your jumps racing, get involved in that. There's pullouts. There's a preview of all the Shrewdies involved there as well. So make sure you get stuck into that as well. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the golf, gamble responsibly, and we'll see you next time.